听，鸟儿的欢鸣，溪水的婉转。听，爱与恨，悲与喜，苦与乐，得与失。听，跳跃的文字，灵动的声音。
You're listening to More to Read。
欢迎您来到轻松调频美文阅读 More to Read， 我是沈听，让我们在这里一起听美文学英语。今天我们将会听到法国政治家拿破仑·波拿巴的一句话，以及英国著名作家威廉·萨默塞特·毛姆所写的短篇小说 Mr. Know-All 万事通先生。
More to Read，
用文字抒发感情，用文字诉说故事，用文字穿越古今。
Daily Quote。
Courage is like love. It must have hope for nourishment. Napoleon Bonaparte.
勇气就像爱，需要用希望来滋养。拿破仑·波拿巴。拿破仑·波拿巴，即拿破仑一世，于1769年出生于法国的科西嘉岛，1804年12月2日加冕称帝，把法国共和国变成了帝国，在位期间称法国人的皇帝，也是历史上自查理三世后第二位享有此名号的法国皇帝。拿破仑对内多次镇压起义，对外曾率军击败英、普、奥、俄等国组成的联盟，多次对外扩张，成为了意大利国王、莱茵联邦的保护者、瑞士联邦的仲裁者、法兰西帝国殖民领主。他于1814年战败退位，随后被流放至厄尔巴岛。1815年逃回巴黎，建立百日王朝。1815年6月18日，被威灵顿指挥英荷联军在滑铁卢击败。拿破仑逃离战场，后被流放至圣赫勒拿岛，直至1821年去世。1840年，灵柩被运回巴黎荣军院。
Courage is like love. It must have hope for nourishment. Napoleon Bonaparte.
勇气就像爱，需要用希望来滋养。拿破仑·波拿巴。
To read.
文字的世界，用心用心聆听。
Beauty of words.
在上一期节目中，我们一起读了英国著名作家威廉·萨默塞特·毛姆的一部短篇小说《Mr. Know-All》万事通先生的上半部分。今天我们继续来读这部小说。毛姆出生于1874年，1965年去世，英国小说家、剧作家，被称为英国的莫泊桑。他一生著作甚多，除了诗歌以外的各个文学领域都有所涉及，有所建树。他的作品，特别是他的长短篇小说，文笔质朴，脉络清晰，人物性格鲜明，情节跌宕有致，在各个阶层中都拥有相当数量的读者群。其作品被译成各国文字，不少小说还被搬上了荧幕。可以说，毛姆是20世纪上半叶最受人欢迎的小说家之一。好，下面呢，就让我们继续来读由威廉·萨默塞特·毛姆所写的短篇小说《Mr. Know-All》万事通先生的后半部分。中文版本由轻松调频的主持人念希为您朗读，由金滴翻译。
Mr. Know-All by W.S. Moore。
万事通先生，毛姆。
I did not like Mr. Collada. I not only shared a cabin with him and ate 3 meals a day at the same table, but I could not walk around the deck without his joining me. It was impossible to snub him. It never occurred to him that he was not wanted. He was certain that you were as glad to see him as he was to see you. In your own house, you might have kicked him downstairs and slammed the door in his face without the suspicion dawning on him that he was not a welcome visitor.
我不喜欢克拉达先生。我不仅和他同住一个房间，一天三顿同桌吃饭，就是在甲板上散散步也甩不掉他。不论你怎么冷落他，他也不在乎。他从来也想不到人家会不想要他。他蛮有把握，认为你也一定是愿意见他的，就和他愿意见你一样。这个人如果到你家里做客，你把他踢下楼梯推出大门去，再使劲把门关上，他也不会疑心自己是个不受欢迎的客人的。
He was a good mixer, and in 3 days knew everyone on board. He ran everything. He managed the sweeps, conducted the auctions, collected money for prizes at the sports, got up quoit and golf matches, organized the concert, and arranged the fancy dress ball. He was everywhere and always. He was certainly the best held man in the ship.
他善于交际。三天之内就认识了船上的每一个人。他主办一切，抽彩是他操持的，拍卖是他掌握的，买运动会奖品的钱是他收集的，投圈比赛和高尔夫球赛是他发起的，音乐会是他组织的，化妆跳舞会是他安排的。无论何时何地，你总能见到他。他肯定是全船最招人嫌的人。
We called him Mr. Know-all, even to his face. He took it as a compliment. But it was at meal times that he was most intolerable. For the better part of an hour then, he had us at his mercy. He was hearty, jovial, loquacious, and argumentative. He knew everything better than anybody else.And it was an affront to his overweening vanity that you should disagree with him. He would not drop a subject, however unimportant, till he had brought you round to his way of thinking.
我们称他为万事通，甚至当着他的面，他还认为这是恭维他。然而最使人受不了的还是用餐的时候。在这大半个小时内，他简直可以任意摆布我们。他情绪热烈，谈笑风生，喋喋不休，喜欢争辩。不论是什么事，他总是比谁都知道得多。要是你不同意他的意见，那就是有意打击他的超群绝伦的自负心理。哪怕是最不相干的题目，他也绝不撒手，非得把你说得跟他的想法一致，才算完事。
The possibility that he could be mistaken never occurred to him.He was the chap who knew. We sat at the doctor's table. Mr. Collada would certainly have had it all his own way. For the doctor was lazy, and I was frigidly indifferent, except for a man called Ramsey who sat there also. He was as dogmatic as Mr. Collada, and resented bitterly the Levantine's cocksureness. The discussions they had were acrimonious and interminable.
在他的脑子里，从来就没有出现过自己也会弄错的这样一个可能性。他是权威。我们和医生同桌，本来克拉达先生肯定可以随心所欲的，因为医生性情疏懒，我又漠不关心。可是同桌的人还有一个姓兰塞的人，那位先生和克拉达先生一样的固执己见。对于这位近东人的自以为是是非常看不惯。这两位老兄争辩起来总是情绪激烈，无休无止的。
Ramsey was in the American consular service and was stationed at Kobe. He was a great heavy fellow from the Middle West, with loose fat under a tight skin, and he bulged out of his ready-made clothes.He was on his way back to resume his post, having been on a flying visit to New York to fetch his wife who had been spending a year at home. Mrs. Ramsey was a very pretty little thing, with pleasant manners and a sense of humor.
兰塞 在美国领事界工作，住神户。他是中西部人，高大魁梧，一身肥肉把皮肤绷得紧紧的，身上那套现成买来的衣服也撑得鼓鼓囊囊的。他的妻子刚回国住了一年，他就是匆匆赶到纽约接他的，现在是回去任职。兰塞太太十分娇小可爱，风度讨人喜欢，并且颇有幽默感。
The consular service is ill-paid, and she was dressed always very simply. But she knew how to wear her clothes. She achieved an effect of quiet distinction. I should not have paid any particular attention to her, but that she possessed a quality that may be common enough in women, but nowadays is not obvious in their demeanor. You could not look at her without being struck by her modesty. It shone in her like a flower on a coat.
领事界薪俸不高，她的服装总是很简朴的，但是她挺会打扮，显得素净大方，不落俗套。这样一位太太，照说也不至于引起我什么特殊的注意，但是她拥有一项原来在妇女间也许相当普通，而今天在他们的举止中已经不易见到的品德。你只要看她一眼，就不能不对她的谦逊留下深刻的印象。这一美德在她身上，就像一朵鲜花在衣襟上一样耀眼。
One evening at dinner, the conversation by chance drifted to the subject of Poles. There had been in the papers a good deal of talk about the cultured Poles which the cunning Japanese were making, and the doctor remarked that they must inevitably diminish the value of real ones. They were very good already. They would soon be perfect. Mr. Kalada, as was his habit, rushed the new topic.
一天晚餐时，话题偶然转到了珍珠。那时候报上谈论巧手的日本人生产人工养殖珍珠的问题很起劲。医生说，人工养殖的珠子必然会降低天然珍珠的价值，现在的质量已经很不错，不久就会完美无缺了。克拉达先生一如既往又就这个新题目滔滔不绝地发起议论来。
He told us all that was to be known about pearls. I do not believe Ramsay knew anything about them at all, but he could not resist the opportunity to have a fling at the Levantine. And in 5 minutes, we were in the middle of a heated argument. I had seen Mr. Kalada vehement and voluble before, but never so voluble and vehement as now. At last, something that Ramsay said stunned him.For he thumped the table and shouted, Well, I ought to know what I am talking about. I'm going to Japan just to look into this Japanese pearl business. I'm in the trade, and there's not a man in it who won't tell you that what I say about pearls goes. I know all the best pearls in the world, and what I don't know about pearls isn't worth knowing.
凡是有关珍珠的事，该知道的他都谈到了。我估计兰塞先生对此根本一窍不通，但是他舍不得放过一个可以嘲弄近东人的机会。于是5分钟之后，一场激烈的辩论展开了。我见过克拉达先生的慷慨激昂，口若悬河，但是还从来没有见过他像现在这样口若悬河，激昂慷慨。最后兰塞说的一句什么话刺痛了他，他拍着桌子大声嚷起来，哼，我还不知道我谈的是什么吗？我到日本去正是为了考察日本珍珠问题的，我就是干这一行的，凡是这一行里的人不论是谁都会告诉你，只要是珍珠的事就是我说了算，全世界的最好的珍珠我统统都知道，我要是不知道的那就根本不值得知道。
Here was news for us. For Mr. Kalada, with all his loquacity, had never told anyone what his business was. We only knew vaguely that he was going to Japan on some commercial errand. He looked around the table triumphantly. They'll never be able to get a cultured Pole that an expert like me can't tell with half an eye. He pointed to a chain that Mrs. Ramsey wore. You take my word for it, Mrs. Ramsey. That chain you're wearing will never be worth a cent less than it is now.
这对我们倒是个新闻，因为克拉达先生尽管多嘴多舌，还从来没有告诉过任何人他到底是干什么的。我们只是隐约地知道他是因为商业方面的任务到日本去的。这时他踌躇满志地环顾全桌。他们搞人工养殖，永远也不要想搞出一颗骗得过像我这样一个专家的珠子来。我睁开半只眼睛就能把它看透。他指着兰塞太太佩戴的一串项链。你听我的没有错，兰塞太太，你戴的这串珠子到什么时候也不会比现在少值一分钱的。
Mrs. Ramsey, in a modest way, flushed a little and slipped the chain inside her dress. Ramsey leaned forward. He gave us all a look and a smile flickered in his eyes. That's a pretty chain of Mrs. Ramsey's, isn't it? I noticed it at once, answered Mr. Collada. Gee, I said to myself, those are pearls all right.I didn't buy it myself, of course. I'd be interested to know how much you think it cost.
兰塞太太不好意思地微微红了红脸，把项链塞进衣服里面。兰塞把身子往前倾了过来，他给我们大伙递了一个眼色，眼睛里闪烁着笑意。兰塞太太这一串还漂亮，是吧？我一眼就看出来了，克拉达先生说。嘿、hey, 我心里说这一串才叫珍珠呢。当然不是我自己买的，我倒有兴趣知道你估计是多少钱买的。
Oh, in the trade, somewhere around $15,000. But if it was bought on Fifth Avenue, shouldn't be surprised to hear that anything up to $30,000 was paid for it. Ramsey smiled grimly.You'll be surprised to hear that Mrs. Ramsey bought that string at a department store the day before we left New York for $18.
那个呀，同行内部买卖，大约$15,000左右。但是，假如是在第五大道买的话，你告诉我你付了$30,000以内的数目，我都不会吃惊的。兰塞露出了严酷的笑容。你会吃惊的。告诉你吧，这串东西是兰塞太太在我们离开纽约的前一天在一家百货公司买的，$18。
Mr. Collada flushed. Rot! It's not only real, but it's as fine a string for its size as I've ever seen. Will you bet on it? I'll bet you $100 it's imitation. Done! Oh, Elma, you can't bet on a certainty.said Mrs. Ramsey. She had a little smile on her lips, and her tone was gently deprecating.
克拉达先生涨红了脸。瞎说，不光是真的，而且像这么大小的珠子，我还没有见过比这一串更好的。你愿意打赌吗？我赌你$100，这是假的。一言为定。哎呦，埃尔默。你明明知道是怎么回事，怎么能打赌呢？兰塞太太说，她唇边微带笑意，语调温柔而有韵意。
Can't I? If I get a chance of easy money like that, I should be all sorts of a fool not to take it. But how can it be proved? She continued. It's only my word against Mr. Collada's. Let me look at the chain.And if it's imitation, I'll tell you quickly enough. I can afford to lose $100, said Mr. Collada. Take it off, dear. Let the gentleman look at it as much as he wants. Mrs. Ramsey hesitated a moment. He put her hands to the clasp. I can't undo it, she said. Mr. Collada will just have to take my word for it. I had a sudden suspicion that something unfortunate was about to occur, but I could think of nothing to say. Ramsey jumped up. I'll undo it.
怎么不能？有这样的便宜钱可拿，我不拿才是傻瓜透顶呢。但是怎么证明呢？他接着说。我说我的，克拉达先生说克拉达先生的，没有别的根据。让我看一下项链，要是假的，我马上就会告诉你。我输得起100块钱，克拉达先生说。摘下来，亲爱的，让这位先生看看，愿意怎么看就怎么看。兰塞太太犹豫一下，两只手伸到了项链的扣盼上。我解不开，他说。克拉达先生只好以我的话为准了。我忽然感到似乎有什么不幸的事情要发生，但是一时之间不知说什么好。兰塞跳了起来，我来解。
He handed the chain to Mr. Collada. The Levantine took a magnifying glass from his pocket and closely examined it. A smile of triumph spread over his smooth and swarthy face. He handed back the chain. He was about to speak. Suddenly, he caught sight of Mrs. Ramsey's face. It was so white that she looked as though she were about to faint.She was staring at him with wide and terrified eyes. They held a desperate appeal. It was so clear that I wondered why her husband did not see it.
他把项链递给克拉达先生。靳东人从衣袋里摸出一个放大镜，仔细查看起来。他的刮得干干净净的浅黑色脸上漾出了胜利的笑容。他交回项链。他准备说话了。突然之间，他瞅见了兰塞太太的脸色。他脸色煞白，似乎眼看就要晕倒的样子。他眼睛睁得大大的瞪着他，露出恐惧的神色。他的眼神送出来的是一个绝望的哀求。这意思实在是太明显了，我不明白她丈夫怎么会看不出来。
Mr. Collada stopped with his mouth open. He flushed deeply. You could almost see the effort he was making over himself. I was mistaken, he said. It's a very good imitation. But of course, as soon as I looked through my glass, I saw that it wasn't real. I think $18 is just about as much as the damned thing's worth.
克拉达先生张口结舌地愣住了，脸涨得通红。你几乎可以看得出他思想上在进行着激烈的斗争。我弄错了，他说，这个假货造得真好，但是当然了，我用镜子一看，马上就看出它不是真货了。这倒霉玩意儿，我看也就是值18块钱左右的货色。
He took out his pocketbook and from it $100 bill. He handed to Ramsey without a word.Perhaps that'll teach you not to be so cocksure another time, my young friend, said Ramsey as he took the note. I noticed that Mr. Collada's hands were trembling.
他取出钱包，抽出一张$100的钞票，一言不发地递给兰塞。这也许可以给你一个教训，下回别再那么自以为是了，老弟。兰塞接过钞票说，我注意到克拉达先生的手在颤抖。
The story spread over the ship, as stories do, and he had to put up with a good deal of chaff that evening. It was a fine joke that Mr. Newall had been caught out, but Mrs. Ramsey retired to her stateroom with a headache.
这件事情跟别的新鲜事一样传遍了全船。那天晚上他不能不忍受好多人的取笑。万事通当场出丑，大家都觉得挺好玩的。但是兰塞太太头疼，回自己的舱里休息去了。
Next morning, I got up and began to shave. Mr. Collada lay on his bed, smoking a cigarette. Suddenly, there was a small scraping sound, and I saw a letter pushed under the door. I opened the door and looked out. There was nobody there. I picked up the letter and saw that it was addressed to Max Collada. The name was written in block letters. I handed it to him.
第二天早上，我起床之后开始刮脸。科拉达先生躺在床上抽烟，突然有一阵细小的窸窣声，我看到门底下有一封信塞进来。我打开门一看，外面没有人。我拾起信，看到是给麦克斯·科拉达的，姓名是用印刷体写的。我递给他。
Who's this from? He opened it. Oh, he took out of the envelope not a letter, but $100 bill. He looked at me and again, he reddened. He tore the envelope into little bits and gave them to me. Do you mind just throwing them out of the porthole? I did as he asked, and then I looked at him with a smile.No one likes being made to look a perfect damned fool, he said.
谁来的信？他拆开了信封。嘿，他从信封里取出来的不是信，而是一张$100的钞票。他瞅我一眼，脸又红了。他把信封撕得粉碎，把那些碎片交给我。劳驾，请你从舷窗里扔出去，好吗？我照办了，然后带笑看着他。被人弄得像一个十足的倒霉傻瓜，谁也不会乐意的。他说
Were the pearls real? If I had a pretty little wife, I shouldn't let her spend a year in New York while I stayed at Kobe, said he. At that moment, I did not entirely dislike Mr. Collada. He reached out for his pocketbook and carefully put in it,$100 note.
那串珍珠是真的。我要是有一个年轻美貌的小媳妇，才不会自己待在神户，让她到纽约去住一年呢。他说。这时，我不完全讨厌科拉达先生了。他伸手取出钱包，细心地把那张$100的钞票放了进去。
感谢您收听今天的美文阅读节目，您还可以通过云听和 CGTN 官方 APP 在线实时收听美文阅读以及轻松调频的其他节目。想要查看美文阅读节目文稿，欢迎您访问网站 radio.cgtn.com。 今天的节目就到这儿，我是沈听，我们明天见。